back.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve,
you suck so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carl's.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode, it's a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 36. With me this week, I'm Nick Persanowski. With me this week, and every week, is Tim Madden. Steve Morgan.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it.
And Charles Caldwell.
I need a bacchiotomy.
Steve's doing the McDonald's theme because he's chowing down on a cheeseburger right now.
I have a double quarter pounder with cheese, a Royale with cheese.
And I need a Whopper and a Big Mac, and I'm going to wash it down with a vanilla shake.
Yeah, I went on a wild goose hunt for food tonight, and I ended up at McDonald's, and my fat ass just couldn't resist.
You should have gotten the premium and gotten like 40 chicken nuggets.
Oh God, Charles!
Why would they even do that?
$10. Drown yourself in chicken.
Charles is all about quantity over quality.
Chicken paste.
It's too bad you can't get it just as like a shake.
I haven't had that in the longest time. I'm probably not going to eat it ever again.
But... Yeah, that's probably good because it's like 6 days worth of cholesterol.
It's like all the marrow and bone ground into a paste and then fried.
All the worst parts of the chicken. And then they bleach it so it looks white.
Yeah. It's all white meat. Used to cure chicken cancer.
Delicious. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
So many good things that are delicious, but are also ridiculously terrible.
That's true. You can't
win. Like antifreeze to dogs. Antifreeze tastes delicious. But you eat it and you die.
That is true. That's a true statement.
Do dogs eat antifreeze? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They taste like sugar.
Yeah. It's actually really, it's really crazy, too. Because I used to work at an animal hospital, and if they've had antifreeze and you look at like their urine under a microscope, then there's like all kinds of these weird crystals because it's the body trying to get rid of it.
That's weird.
That's one of the ways you can tell that they've been antifreeze poisoned. Anyways, that's a little.
That's your weekly science tip.
Getting nerd up in here.
My God, those friggin' commercials. The one with Ken Jeong. Ken Jeong is ridiculous. He's like, let me over here!
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Nobody does.
It's the little Asian guy from Community.
I know who Ken Jeong is, but I have no idea what commercial you're talking about.
He does a commercial like about conservation
on
NBC, and it's like, let me over here! And then they throw him in ear corn.
I haven't seen that one, but I do know which one you're talking about.
That guy's ridiculous. Okay. You know he used to be a doctor?
He is a doctor.
Yeah.
He is a doctor. It's crazy.
Smart.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's hope for me, still.
You're going to be a comedian later on in life.
And you're gonna jump out of the trunk of a car completely naked.
I feel like I got that stuff down. The doctor part's harder. All right.
Anyway, let's jump into topics. Let's jump into some news. Nintendo apparently already has a clear idea of what they want the Wii U successor to be.
Haven't even got the Wii U yet.
Yeah. Well,
my boss won a Wii U yesterday at a conference, and I was so pissed that I didn't put my business card in the box. God, I'm so pissed.
That bastard.
She was like, I'm going to take this to my kids, and I'm going to have them, like, do favors to keep it. And I'm like, oh, God, you're the worst.
Is she like a witch or something?
No. No, I was just pissed.
Yeah. So Nintendo apparently has an idea. They haven't detailed what they want the next Nintendo console to be, but they said that they won't release it until all current Wii U owners are satisfied.
AKA never.
Yeah, newsflash. Nintendo's last console is the Wii U.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
I feel like they had to say this, though, because so many people kind of have lost faith in them because of how badly the Wii U is doing. You know, particularly, yeah. Like, their investors and stuff are just like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Well, it said right in that article that they lost money. They just announced their annual losses.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool in there that they talked about how their handheld and console divisions have merged. So everything that they do going forward is going to have some component of handheld in it.
You know, I think that's actually a smart move on their part, because that's like their one successful thing is their handheld. Like, that never fails to be like an insane success. So, I mean, if they can bring that to consoles, or if they can merge it, you know, I'd be cool with that. I mean, like, if I could buy a Nintendo console that was, like, a handheld and a console, dude, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
If you could buy
Isn't that what the Wii U is, partly?
Well, yeah, but it's, like, huge, dude. It's, like, giant.
And you can't take it out of your house. It doesn't do anything.
Oh.
If you bought, like, one little thing that also just came with a box that plugged into your TV, and you literally had a handheld thing you could take around and, like, a console at home, that would be like the best of both worlds.
Oh, I picture when they talk about a new console is like them presenting it with Pikmin or something. Like that.
Yeah.
Could be like a Pokemon or something.
I feel like they're all about gimmicks now.
I mean, didn't they just release a new Pokemon coming out?
Yeah, I think they're like remaking one or something.
Pokemon Stadium? Pokemon Snap?
Yes, please.
A new Pokemon set would be ridiculous. How many Pokemon are there now?
It's Pokemon like, God, what's the name? It's ridiculous because it's like Pokemon Sapphire Prime or something.
Yeah.
And there's a game already called Pokemon Sapphire, and it very much looks like a remake of an old Pokemon. Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Yeah, that's what it's
called. So, I mean, it's got some people pretty excited, though. I know some people that, like, went out and bought, like, DSs and shit just to, like, prepare for the new Pokemon.
I feel like Nintendo, like, they are just cashing in on the nostalgia factor now. I feel like they've kind of been doing that for a while. But it's going to... I feel like that well is going to dry up soon enough. You know, you can't keep that going forever.
No.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting. I mean, what do you guys think their next... I think, personally, their next console is... I think they're preparing their company for their next console by merging their handheld and console division and have it actually be... I think it's going to be a handheld-based, like, console, some sort of experience. So it'll be basically both the same thing.
Yeah. That's probably what they're aiming for. And when they say to make sure that their current Wii U users are fully satisfied, to me that just means that they're going to release the premier games. They haven't released a Zelda game for the Wii U yet, so that's what they're saying. It's like they're going to wait until they release it for the Wii U, and then they'll probably start the makings of marketing the new one. Because, I mean, what is left? I mean, they've already done Mario, they've already done Super Smash Bros. They've come out with a new one for Wii U, right? So, what's left? Zelda. I mean, they've got to come out with a new Zelda before they can progress to the next one. And then maybe that'll drive sales a little bit. Because, I mean, I don't know how much Mario has driven their sales recently. But I feel like every time a new Zelda game comes out, it's like, oh, everyone needs to buy the new Nintendo.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, the Wii U is, just going by numbers right now, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 have both outsold the Wii U.
The 360 and the PS3 outsold the Wii U. It's like, it's nowhere. It's not selling anything.
How does it even compare? Like, how many?
It's in the hundreds of thousands, but not by much.
So it's like a tenth, not even like a 5% of what the sales on the other two are. Because aren't they in the millions?
Yeah, I think the Wii U lifetime has sold 6 million. Potentially.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I was saying month over. I mean, by month.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. And then PlayStation and Xbox, I think, have sold like 7 and 5 million.
Yeah.
In the past month, or total.
No, total.
Okay.
But still, way ahead of their.
Yeah, Wii U's been out for much, much longer.
Yeah.
I feel like Wii U just kind of came out of nowhere and then was just
it did.
Has just been lingering. They didn't. There was no. But I feel like we probably covered this in the past. There's no giant overhaul like Nintendo, N64 commercials or anything like that.
Yeah, like most Nintendo products that have failed, they outdo themselves hardware wise with like a lack of software. Like there's just no titles that like. I mean, there's nothing on the Wii U that makes me like go out and have to buy it. If there was like a Zelda or something like that, you know, I'd really have to be like, it would hurt. Like, you know, it would be really tough for me to not go out, at least think about getting it. But when, I mean, what is there? Like, can you even name like four games on it? Like,
no.
I mean,
no.
I can name four games on PlayStation 4 and that's been out like, you know, half as long, if not less than that. So,
With the Nintendo games, any other game other than their premier titles, I get that like sinking feeling. It's like, well, why would I buy this on Nintendo? I mean, but for our games on other consoles, it's like, oh well, there's just so many, there's such a variety. But for Nintendo, it's like there's the title games, and then there's like five others that maybe you'll buy, but probably not.
Well, I think that goes with popularity, though.
I think that Nintendo has kind of always been like they're a very niche console, but specifically for like either, you know, young children or like more like family or like friend games that you play like with like a group of people, like Mario Party and stuff like that, like, or Mario Kart. So like those games will sell a lot, but compared to the Wii, like the Wii U is not this huge generational upgrade. So like if you want to play those games, you most likely already have a regular Wii. And that's good enough, you know. So to make.
Didn't they come out with a new Mario Kart recently, or are they coming
out? It's coming out.
It's coming out. Yeah.
I would be willing to bet that would probably drive sales to go up. But
yeah, definitely.
For somebody like me, it's like, yeah, I need to play. Like the only games that I ever would buy that for is that Mario Kart, like maybe a Mario Party. They do have the like new Super Mario Brothers World, and the one on Wii was really good. That like 2D side scroller kind of like retro makeup game that they did. And then like some kind of Zelda, like those are the games. Like, but the thing is, like you can see that like they're not even like the whole Zelda thing is like they have a game that they want to put out on it, but they're like, oh, you know, it's gonna take longer, so then they just remake Wind Waker, and it's just like, you know, like they don't care that much about it, obviously.
Yeah,
like
they're not like, this is our primary driver, we gotta push this. They're like, oh yeah, we know we gotta put out a Zelda at some point because that's a great game, but they're not. They got a weird mindset about sales. Yeah. Like, really weird.
Yeah.
Well, which is good.
Yeah, to their benefit, they're not like a sales driven company. And I think that's a good thing, generally speaking.
Yeah, they're definitely in it to make money over the long term, but they're a very long term oriented company.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Should probably move on to the next thing.
Yes. So, changing consoles and going over to Microsoft, Microsoft today officially announced that they will be selling the Xbox One without Kinect for $399.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Took them long enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, now basically the consoles are really tough to, you know, separate.
Yeah, I think this is huge from, like, from a perspective of developers and stuff like that. I think the whole reason they really initially bundled the Kinect in was because they wanted like pervasive Kinect, like they wanted to be in all games developed for the Xbox One. They wanted every developer to be able to like use Kinect features in their game without fear of someone not having one. But right. Now that totally defeats that, you know, so we're back to basically where they were with the 360, saying that, you know, you may or may not have a Kinect, but
I don't know. Well, most developers want to develop their games
Kinect systems. Yeah, that's a big part of it. Yeah, a lot of them don't.
Well, there's all that, because there's amount of, memory that's set aside for the Kinect, so I wonder if they'll actually open that up to developers so that they can use the full memory capacity of the Xbox.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that, I think the bigger thing, though, is, I mean, from what I've read online, like, a lot of people who have it say that they can't imagine having the Xbox without the Kinect. Because, you know, it's a huge thing, like, to be able to turn your Xbox on and change channels. Like, there's a lot of features. There's, like, the TV features use the voice the voice controls and stuff a lot. So for them, it's a huge deal. Like, to be able to walk in front of your TV and have it log in to you, you know, because it sees you and stuff. That's I mean, to me, that's a whole selling point of even getting it.
So that's not just part of the Xbox One. That's part of the Kinect itself.
Yeah.
Because to me, the Kinect is like motion stuff. But if it's all of the other components, like the voice activation, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's all of that stuff.
The microphone's all embedded in that thing. So all that stuff is.
Yeah. And I think also by doing this, they kind of I think most people who who had a qualm about price, they probably already bought a PS4. Like, I don't think they would have waited around. Like, if they wanted a console, they probably, because Xbox was, I mean, because Microsoft was so staunch in saying that they didn't want to get rid of the Kinect, they weren't going to lower the price. Anyone who was thinking of getting a console who wanted to get one cheaper probably already got a PS4. So for them to do this now, it's like, I don't feel like they're not going to gain that many people. I think maybe there are a few people on the fence who might be like, oh, okay, I've got an Xbox now. But I think that it's past the point of no return now. You know, you're not going to get nearly as many as you would have if you had done that from the get-go.
Sure.
And I honestly think that this is going to promote some real good competition between the two consoles too, because not only are they, you know, is the price parity like the same, but now it's basically going to be games. It's going to be who has the games, who has the better games.
Yeah.
And it's going to, I think, really encourage each.
It'll focus on the games.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, each console has their, you know, selling points besides games and whatnot. But I think now the games are going to be the focus, especially I think if this year's E3 is going to be a huge games focus, which actually, at Microsoft's E3 press conference is the day that, the Xbox One will start selling for, without the Kinect, for $399. Okay. So it'll be like, they're going to announce, basically, the Xbox is going to go for $399, and that night they're going to announce a whole ton of games. And it's going to be, you know, I think that'll definitely boost some sales. Because I did hear that, you know, Microsoft wants to focus on games for E3, and I think if they do that, you know, they could put them back in the game. And I don't think they're out of it anyways, but I think it'll be closer.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I'm like one of those people that's sort of on the fence, since I don't have any of these three new consoles. I'm sort of, you know, I just feel like this is good. It kind of makes it so that you don't have to kind of take that as a factor. You can just buy the console for the games and the things that you want. And, you know, because it's one of those things where, like, I thought the Xbox One was cool, but, you know, the PlayStation's cheaper and probably more accessible to people. But, you know, so I think it's cool. I'm pretty excited. And I think, like, you know, this opens them up to, like, not have the problem where, like, you know, if there's deals or sales, they're not, like, so far off from the competition. Like, I mean, like, the Wii U I just saw the other day was, like, there was, like, a refurbished one on Slick Deals for, like, $200 or something, you know? It's just, like, starting to get down there to, like, you know, with a game and everything. So it's like starting to get down there, like, for me, where that's like, it's really hard to pass up on deals like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about $500, $600 with a game, it's like, that's just, for someone like me, I mean, I don't have, like, a real job. That's, like, a lot of money. It's just tough. So, I mean, I'm excited for it. I think it's cool. I think it's going to open it up for people like me that are cheapos, really.
Agreed.
So it's cool.
So, also on that same day, on the day of the Microsoft press conference, apart from releasing the Xbox One without the Kinect, Xbox Live is also going to remove the gold requirement for Netflix and Hulu. Which,
yeah, that's nice.
Does this essentially mean that, like, Xboxes now will be able to use Netflix and Hulu without having Xbox Live? Like,
you won't have to pay $60 a year to use Netflix, basically.
That doesn't make any sense. You have to pay for Netflix and Hulu regardless, so why would you have to pay gold?
Yeah, no.
Well, it was
an outdated model.
Yeah. It was kind of like their gated community to get on Xbox Live. You had to buy gold, which was just stupid to begin with. I mean, I did this for probably a year, paying for both, and then finally I got an Apple TV, so I was like, well, why? I don't even play games on Live anymore. Why even do that? I mean, my Xbox 360 has been a Netflix box for like a year at this point. And, yeah, that money adds up. So to be able to just cancel Live is nice.
So you don't have to play, you don't have to be on Xbox Live to play online anymore?
No, you do. To play online, you do, but to stream Netflix, you don't.
But I mean, I will say that, like, if you go back and look at PlayStation 3 and Xbox Live, having had both of them, I think Xbox Live was worth the money.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I think that they did a good job. And I mean, I don't know if it was just them, and maybe some of it was just the community was, like, a little bit more involved, but it just, the Xbox Live experience was a little bit better as far as communication and stuff like that. So I think, like, originally that plan, like, that model of having to pay to play was, like, good, but I think they need to catch up a little bit now with the way games are. You know, you don't need to charge people to just connect to a server and play.
Well, that was kind of a different model to begin with. I mean, before Xbox Live, what that was the model was you to play multiplayer, you just connect to the server. And Xbox created the niche for pay-to-play for a dedicated service.
Well, I mean, but yeah, you got to remember that consoles didn't have.
Yeah,
that's true.
Xbox Live was like the first to even offer that, and it was pretty advanced when it first came out for the first Xbox. And I mean, there were some existing ones, but to the extent that the original Xbox Live went, it was just crazy. And I think, you know, part of it was, you know, to make money and to offer, like, a good service, you needed to charge people in order to have, like, good servers and, you know, good connections and stuff like that. But I think another part of it, too, was to kind of create, like, a gate by which to, you know, either force, like, older player, you know, to keep the minimum level somewhat higher and to kind of, you know, not every person is going to get in there and be an asshole. You know, there's a reason if you're going to get Xbox Live, it's, like, tied to you, so you can't be an asshole because you don't want to get banned, you know, so that part of it kind of tied in, you know. You had skin in the game, so you didn't want to burn your chances by joining and being an asshole.
Unless your name was Eric Campbell, but that's a different story.
Well, no, he logged in on other people's names, so he had no skin in the game.
Another thing that Microsoft kind of announced today, or not really announced, but their Games with Gold program, I think, is officially going to include Xbox One games. I don't know if it's this month or next month, but they're on there.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be two games for 360 and two games for Xbox One.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that seems pretty cool.
So
when you become a Gold Xbox Live member, you get other games.
Yeah, so I mean, it's basically the, like, PlayStation Plus model that they have now. Because you can get, I mean, PlayStation Plus. I have PlayStation Plus, and I get free games for PS4, Vita, and PlayStation 3. Not that I have a PlayStation 3 anymore, but you know, it pays for itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they give you tons of, like, discounts too, and I definitely spend a lot more money, like,
on discounted games than I ever would have before, so it works.
It seems to me like Microsoft has really taken a, you know, a page out of Sony's book by first dropping the price and then second, cutting Netflix and Hulu out from gold, and now adding free games for gold members. It's like literally there's very little difference between a PS4 and an Xbox.
They see what works and they want to cash in.
I guess that's true. They're trying to get out. You know, I guess those are probably some of the biggest selling points for why someone would want to get a PS4, and they're just trying to level the playing field. Which I guess makes sense. Yeah. It's a good idea.
Definitely. Who wants to talk about Dota?
Oh, you know who wants to talk about Dota up in here.
Kid's a Dota addict.
Dude, I've been going just crazy on Dota lately. So I guess the article that we have posted here is that the international prize pool has exceeded the 2.8 million total prize pool, which was last year's total. But as of right now, I was playing a little earlier. I'm pretty sure we just broke $4 million total prize pool. So it's out of control right now. And it's just so, I mean, the big reason is they get like a lot of the money from people paying tickets and everything. But they just released this week a thing called the Compendium, which you can pay $10 for, and it essentially gives you a booklet which shows all the teams that are going to be in the pre-qualifiers in the tournament. It lets you predict like who's going to go and how, like, you know, all these different like sort of prop bet type things, like, you know, how many kills there'll be in this, and then essentially, like, from this compendium you can level up your compendium, which gives you bonuses and items in the game and stuff. So a lot of people, like most people, I would say probably 50% of the people that I've played against have it. I mean, all of us bought it. And I mean, I was screaming like a little girl, like on like her birthday when I saw it. So I gladly spent $10, and I've like contemplated like spending more, because then you can like buy levels in it, right? Which, and all that money goes to this prize pool. Well, not all that money. I think 25% of like what you put in goes to the prize pool. So Valve has made like a shit ton of money on this. I mean, over $10 million or something ridiculous, I'm sure by now. So yeah, it's crazy.
When you started talking about the ages of some of the competitors in this, all I could think of was I used to be able to throw this football over the mountains.
Get to throw this football over the mountains.
What's a parallel for Dota when you're talking about this?
It's funny because, like, yeah, so in, like, professional gaming, like, in the Dota scene, like, I don't think there's many guys that are over 24, 25. The average age has got to be, like, between 18 and 24. It's just funny because, like, you know, oh, when you're 26 or 27, like, all right, it's like, yeah, you're over the hill. You're just, your reaction time isn't good enough. You can't. And it's just funny because, like, I mean, you think about, like, professional sports, like, you know, 30 to 40. Like, there's guys that are, like, 40 years old that are getting paid the most money in the Major League Baseball, and they're not over the hill. But in gaming, it's like, yeah, you're 26. You're just too old, man. You're just, you know, even though your body's not even in its prime, it's like your brain is now, like, just deteriorated to the point where it can't be a pro anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen Free to Play, it's really a good document, a film about Dota players. Basically, it's all about the first international tournament, but it delves into all that, and it's just crazy to see, you know, to see these kids who are like young kids, but they're like over the hill, you know. It's just insane.
Crazy. There's a cat.
There's a cat. She was trying to open the door and get into the air, so I let her in. Yeah. You know, she's just sticking her ass in my face.
Typical cat move.
Yeah, that's a douchebag cat move right there.
Whenever our cat does something like that, we call him a candy ass dickhead. You candy ass dickhead!
Well, that's what I'm going to call it now.
Looks like 50 EA games are going offline after GameSpy shuts down.
Yeah, there's quite a few more, too. Those are just the EA games, but I came across this and it seemed pretty huge. They're, you know, I hadn't heard about it before, but I guess they're shutting down GameSpy, which I don't know if you guys remember PC games, but basically everything used GameSpy
for
a major period. But I mean, a lot of these games are kind of old, like Neverwinter Nights, Neverwinter Nights 2. I was actually surprised to see Crysis on there and Crysis 2. I guess Crysis 2 is a little bit more recent. Battlefield 2142. Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Yeah. Not 1942.
I don't know. I think 1942 is on Origin.
Oh, is it?
Or the new one is. I don't know. Yeah. It sucks. And I think GTA 4. There's a couple other games that are going. They're just gonna. They have like new hosting options available, so they're gonna keep being able to play them online. But a lot of these games are just gonna, you know, be dead forever.
What amazes me is that some people still play these games. Like, I don't know. I mean, granted, sure they were great at one time, but like, why?
So what? People get addicted and just don't want to move. They don't like change, and they just want to keep playing and playing it.
Like, yeah. I've been amazed to see like people still play EverQuest 1. They still have like a dev team that constantly creates content for EverQuest 1. This EverQuest 2 has been out for, I mean, EverQuest 1 is like 20 years old now at this point. I think the game's old.
Yeah,
you know, but people still play it. They're at least 15 years old.
Although the developers are like the companies are different, but
yeah.
But yeah, no, that game still comes out with expansions and shit. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
And I think that's probably different from this scenario, because I think in MMOs you're always going to have that, but for some of these games it's a little different. But I mean, if there's someone who's still playing the original Crysis, like that's kind of weird.
There's still people that play the original Day of Defeat, and that game came out when like EverQuest came out. And they still play it like competitively and shit. It's weird.
I could see that. Any game with this like a multiplayer element, I feel like there's always gonna be a lot of people playing forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if it's not multiplayer, that's a little weird.
Unless the entire concept of GameSpy is that it's all like all servers where you're playing multiplayer, so all of these games have multiplayer modes, and that must be how people are using it.
But some of these games are bad. Like Command & Conquer Generals shouldn't even have been played when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Play tests for these games. They're dead.
Yep, they're dead. They're never coming back.
At least we'll never have to see that little GameSpy installer after we install every game.
Oh, God.
With the little hat thing. Isn't that what it is?
I never understood why it was GameSpy. Like, is this a good thing?
Yeah. So they're installing spyware on my computer so they can watch my every move. Okay. Yeah. I guess if I have to get it. It's too funny. Some guy in one of the forums I was looking at was like, yeah, GameSpy is right up there with Punkbuster. And I'm like,
oh, God. Yeah, right down there with Punkbuster.
Yeah.
Yo, can I just say Tim is a baller right now? I didn't notice that your headset like pulses.
Yeah, it changes color. Well, it doesn't change.
What kind of headset is it?
It's a SteelSeries Siberia.
Oh, features. I've never seen ones that like change color like that. Is it USB?
Yeah, it's USB.
It makes sense. I was like, damn, intense. You got like change the batteries in that thing.
Yeah, it takes 4D batteries.
All right,
cool. I like it.
Weighs about 20 pounds.
it's like literally made to just make you look like a badass when you're playing video games. Like someone just comes in, you're like, and they're like, ooh, damn, what's that guy? He's
don't
like,
interrupt, Tim.
Yeah, they have one that glows like they're like partnered with Blizzard, so they always have like weird Blizzard ones, but they have one that's like red and I think they have a new one now that you can change it to whatever color you want. Which is kinda
changes
cool.
While you're like playing, like when you start to like die and WoW,
that would
and, like,
be
it's,
awesome.
Like, gets redder and redder. And redder.
If your health is low, it like blinks like.
That'd be so great for competitions.
Yeah.
You need to see like people playing and then their headsets are blinking.
It'd be cool.
People
like,
next to them are like, turn your light goddamn down.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be cool for, like, spectating to, like, see, like, watch the health of everyone playing on their head.
That'd be really ridiculous.
Now it's going to happen. We talked about it.
We need to get in on this business right now. This is a niche that we need to take care of.
We're going
to
sell it to Apple in 10 years.
Right? 3.2 billion or whatever. Yeah.
Which brings us to our weekly segment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of. So, I guess I'll take it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so anyways, this actually, you know, thinking back to last week when we were talking about Comcast and EA partnering up, this kind of got me thinking about big business and its place in gaming, specifically because Comcast and EA both have, like, very bad ratings with people, the public general opinion and customer service and everything else.
Mm.
So I guess I was just thinking sort of, you know, with, like, Facebook buying Oculus and I mean, Apple buying, like, Beats Audio isn't really related to gaming, but it is in a way, I guess. So, like, I don't know, I guess, do you guys feel like it's a good thing that we have sort of a conglomeration sometimes of this? Because, I mean, you can say there's a benefit, right, of Oculus Rift being bought up by a really expensive company. But at the same time, you can also see where, like, gamers may be getting exploited.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can see it both ways. I think the bad part about it is kind of like the monetary focus on things. So, I mean, like, if you look at just basically, like, indie versus big business, like, or indie versus, like, AAA developers, you know, I mean, you're probably going to get a more, maybe, and I guess this isn't necessarily true, but you'll probably get a more polished game or, like, a more, like, widely played game through a AAA developer, and that's just natural when you have a company that's big enough that they can spend millions on marketing and whatnot. Yep. But
the necessary component is marketing. It isn't necessarily polish.
Yeah, no, and that's true. And I think that if you look at, like, an indie game, you kind of get just a totally different experience that can rival a AAA title, you know. But at the same time, their focus isn't on making a game that's going to make them money. I mean, I guess maybe it might be for some games, but I think that the real difference is that focus. And I think a lot of people are willing to, you know, spend $20 on a game that, you know, is probably going to be not the best game ever, but just because they know that someone's doing it out of their own, you know, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right with that, with the whole monetary focus on some big business. Some games, like, I mean, we've seen games that have come out and profited and been, you know, sold 2 million copies, and they still can, like, these big businesses still consider them a failure because they're not making,
yeah,
a certain amount of money, you know.
Yeah.
They're not covering their costs, which case in point is how Microsoft isn't covering the cost of its console when it's selling them. I mean, that's kind of the definition of everything that's wrong with it. They have to bundle everything and make it extremely complex in order for the product to succeed. Whereas, like, an indie game, they're not focusing on, like, other games and how they'll, like, coalesce together. They're just focusing on one game, trying to make it the best they can, and knowing that the quality of the game will make the sales increase.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I think that, AAA titles, I think, like, if you look at, like, Call of Duty, that's probably, like, the worst offender, because literally they just come out with the same game every year that's
annualized completely.
They do such a good job of marketing. Have you seen the new, like, thing with Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I'm like, oh, this game looks sick. And I'm like, no, you don't fucking trick me again. You won't trick me. Call of Duty, House of Cards.
I feel like they're going to sucker in. Like, I gotta play it now. It's because Kevin Spacey's in it. But, you know, that, I feel like that's probably one of the worst offenders. That, and maybe, like, before that, things like Madden or any sports game where it's basically the same game every year.
Yeah,
you know, those are probably the worst of it. But, you know, on the flip side, I think there's some AAA titles that, you know, maybe their focus is on making money, but at the same time, I feel like they're still really good games. Like, I don't think that you can discount a game just because it's made by a rich developer for the purpose of making more money.
I mean, to be honest, after the first Bioshock, Bioshock 2 and Bioshock Infinite, I would consider those like big business AAA title games, even though their focus on those games is all about artistic creativity, but I don't necessarily consider them like indie anymore.
Yeah.
No. And I mean, like, I think, you know, The Last of Us on PlayStation 3 was, you know, one of the best game narratives I've ever, you know, seen or played, and the storyline was great, and, you know, it was just an amazing game overall, and that was made by Naughty Dog, you know, and Naughty Dog is a big developer. That's, like, one of PlayStation's big developer companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely, I mean, certain companies fall into certain traps where they just think that, I mean, they know that the formula that they're working with is going to succeed. Case in point, Battlefield. Case in point, Call of Duty. Trying to think of some other ones where it's just like, I mean, you know that people are going to come back to certain titles. Like Devil May Cry or any of the, what was the name, Prince of Persia kind of series. You know, it's like, is it really necessary? Or Metal Gear Solid is probably another good one. So, like, at the time, Metal Gear, they feel like they were coming out with a Metal Gear Solid every year. It's like, is it really necessary to come out with another one?
Yeah.
And I've heard the concept before that there's such a huge difference between indies and big business. Like, there's AAA titles and there's indie games. These, like, kind of smaller, more niche type gameplay opportunities, and the whole middle range, like, is there a middle range to games? And
there definitely is a middle range.
Well, I think there's like mega AAA titles and maybe like AA titles. I mean, there's kind of like a range, but it's not, I don't think that's clearly defined. Like, you can't say like, oh, that's, you know, that's half indie, half AAA, but it's kind of, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Indie for me is like totally unknown. I don't know anything about the developer or the game, and I'm just kind of like, oh, that looks cool, let me buy it. But
yeah, and I think to that degree, there's kind of like developers that were indie developers that kind of like grew out of that, like I think you could say that Mojang or developers of Minecraft have a couple other games now, so
yeah.
And they have, you know, they've made millions and millions of dollars, so I don't know if you could call them an indie developer anymore. I mean, I don't know when you lose that title, but I think that there's kind of, maybe there's not so much a transition in the opposite direction, but there's definitely a transition from like young developers into more seasoned companies.
Which is funny, because if you were to think about it in the Hollywood context, the Minecraft company would still be considered an indie development, because they're not like, they're not being published by gigantic developers. But you're right, they're not. I mean, I wouldn't consider them an indie developer either.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you wanted to really break it down, I mean, the two grand emperors, I think, would be like EA and Activision Blizzard. You know, between those two, they own probably like a massive percentage of things. Because you have the two biggest shooters, you have the biggest RPGs, basically. You have all the cross-platform titles right there. And then after that, I mean, you get some other big ones like Bethesda, ZeniMax has a lot. You know, there's a lot of different companies in between there. So, and then, yeah, I mean, you slowly work your way down to like individual indie developers on Greenlight and stuff like that, where, you know, it's totally different. I mean, I don't know.
So, I kind of posed a question to some of our listeners on Twitter, and I asked, you know, does big business have a place in gaming? And I think, you know, we got a couple different answers, which is kind of interesting. And at Body dropped Coda EC. That's a question mark because I don't really know how to say that. But he says it's everything wrong with gaming these days. We're getting rushed / incomplete retextured games. No pride anymore. Only a bottom line. And I agree with that partially.
Yeah, I think that's more of a. I don't know if I would say that that's a big business issue more so than like a. Individual developer issue, because certainly there's games that where the focus is on getting it out on a certain date so that they can like they can fit their sales into the you know the holiday market, stuff like that. And I totally agree that's stupid. Like all you're doing is screwing over all your gamers by doing that. But at the same time, there's a lot of big developers. Like the best one I can think of is Blizzard, where they're a huge $1 billion company, and they will, they're known for delaying their games in order to get it right. So, I don't think you can say that it's just big businesses that's that, but I definitely think there are a few bad offenders that are guilty of that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's the thing, is that we've just been burned so much by what we consider AAA titles like Call of Duty and shit.
Yeah.
So true, though. It's like, it blows my mind sometimes when I see the games like that. It just, I don't think, I need to, really do my research on what has to be done to develop a game, because I don't think I have, a full appreciation for the fact that, when I go to play Call of Duty, I'm like, dude, this is the exact same game with different maps. Like, how did this take them 2 years? Like, I would just think that this could take somebody, a couple weekends, and they could just, make some new guns and change the menus. Like, it shouldn't take that long. I mean, especially with a company where it's not like you're left to, redesign the game. Like, just go and take their old code and everything, and then you just change shit. So, I mean, there's probably some other stuff, but I agree. It's mind-boggling sometimes that, games steal cutscenes from other games and... They're their own games, and
yeah. I think that, in particular with Call of Duty, they have a 3-studio revolving team. So every year it's a different studio that creates the Call of Duty game. And it was Treyarch, Infinity Ward, and then I think there was another one or something. But so they're kind of alternating each year. So every game is developed by a different group of people, and I don't know if they share common code between them or how it all works, but I think at that point you kind of get into the politics of it, and that's I guess that kind of ties in, because anytime you have a big business, you're going to have hundreds of
cannibalism,
yeah,
thousands.
Well,
of
I mean, yeah, you have inner competition between developers, right? Because you want Call of Duty Ghost to be better than Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and then the other thing too is you have to remember even though you're on a 3-year schedule, you're always competing with the game that just came out. So, if Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is awesome, and then Modern Warfare, our Ghost comes out or whatever, and it's not that good, it's for them, they were making their game better than the game that came out, 2 or 3 years ago. But for you, you just played that game last year, and it was so much better, and it had the same name, even though it may or may not have been developed by people that had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And so, it's true. Our expectations are sort of not necessarily fair, but at the same time,
they should be talking to each other.
Exactly. If you want to make a good game and you want to say it's a good game, then it better fucking be a good game, and not be so shitty. The shit in Ghost was unbelievably. And okay, I'm not even gonna get into a fucking bitch fest about this, but there was shit in that game that could have been fixed in the first week, and they probably would have kept people like me playing the game, but. They didn't give a shit. They literally was it was a scam. It literally was a scam. I mean, they had spawn points that were completely random. That's just a terrible concept. You kill someone, and then someone literally spawns up behind you and shoots you right in the back. And this happened. That's just the way the game is. And there's nothing you can... And, that shit should have been hot fixed in the first two weeks. There was people that couldn't play it because they didn't have enough RAM, and then they just fixed... They changed something in the code, and then people could play it. It's not even necessary. It was just what they wanted, that kind of shit. And that took a month for that patch to come out. That stuff, that kind of stuff is by
unforgivable.
Big developers. It's just they should have a lot of money, right? They should have a lot of people working on it. It shouldn't be an issue for them.
Well, they probably do have. They're probably, knowing them, they have a very competitive development team where there's probably two groups competing to finish something first. you know, and then within that, then it's going to go to testing. It's all very bureaucratic in any sort of company that big. And, you know, it's not, you know, the wheels of progress turn slowly in any sort of large corporation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
At 5025 said, I'd say yes to a certain extent due to the amount of money needed to make these big AAA titles. I mean, some smaller developers or publishers aren't going to be able to make, you know, a $500 million game.
Yeah.
Like, well, $500 million like Destiny is currently.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. You know, I think you kind of have to sell your soul. So, I mean, I guess you don't have to sell your soul, but you've got to be willing to give up a lot in order to, you know, have that much money invested in your game.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, is it worth it? I don't know. Certainly, I mean, I would like to hope and think it will be worth it for Destiny. You know, was it worth it for Call of Duty? No. I mean, clearly.
Right. At that, Chaffee says, Big Biz does have a place in gaming. Like movies and music, people love easily accessible brain break entertainment. Not everyone loves an indie thought-provoking game. They want Michael Bay. I like a mix of the two, depending on my mood.
I like that comparison.
Mm.
It's definitely true, but you got to make sure that the games... I guess you don't necessarily need to have the stuff that comes out be good, because some Michael Bay movies just straight up suck. And then, so,
Has he done all of the Transformers movies?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, I never watched anything past the first one, and
You didn't miss much.
Okay, I didn't think so. Dark of the Moon.
You missed so much!
I like that...
Return of the Fallen, man.
Is that the newest one with Mark Wahlberg, who finds a truck in his garage, and he's like, this isn't a truck. It's a Transformer.
Oh, God.
Wait, didn't Michael Bay do, like, Con Air? And,
Did he?
I think so. I know he did.
That's indie then.
There was another one. I mean, Armageddon. I think he did Armageddon. Like, those are childhood movies.
That's a
no. It wasn't Con Air. Wasn't him. That was Dominic Cena. I don't know who that is.
I have no idea who that is.
All I remember about that movie is Steve Buscemi is the serial killer that wears it. People's faces.
He's the best character in every movie he's in.
Okay, he has also done, let's see, the Lionel Richie collection.
Who has?
Michael Bay, he directed it. He directed Bad Boys 2, Armageddon, Pearl Harbor, the original Bad Boys.
Pearl Harbor, oh my god.
Yeah.
Hit and miss.
Yeah, I mean, to get back to the point, I think that's true. Like, I feel like that's really the only reason a lot of people play, like, Call of Duty and stuff like that. It's like the Michael Bay movie of gaming. You know, clearly it's the same game you played last year. It's like, there's not many, like, cerebral-inducing moments that you're going to have in the game other than to just shoot people in the face and, you know... get your bloodlust out. So,
right.
I mean, I think that's probably that's a pretty big part of gaming. And like to go back in time, like games for NES and Sega Genesis, I think there were a lot of games like that. I mean, I think that was probably the heart of gaming at that point, because you just had kind of weird niche games where it was like puzzle games and stuff like that, but the majority of games were like platformers or just super fast, you know, reaction based games where there wasn't a whole lot of like deep elements to it, you know.
Yeah, the storyline of Sonic or any of those games isn't that deep. I mean, the storyline for Mario isn't that deep. Oh, the princess was stolen. Go kill Bowser. Okay.
Yeah. I think at X Chango Bango makes a good point.
Django Bango.
He says, as long
great name.
As long as they like and show passion for the product and aren't in it about getting profit, then that's good business. Well, I mean,
I'm part only of in it about profit.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say part of business is profit. You know, you have to make profit to be able to produce anything after that. But to be in it only for profit is definitely the.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it.
And then our final listener comment today is from at William 0406, and he says an unpopular opinion. Unpopular opinions have gotten people in trouble recently, so let's. he says, "I enjoyed Borderlands 2 and many other games way more than Journey and Walking Dead." It's entirely dependent on just your personal taste, honestly. Like. And your mood and whatnot, because like there are definitely days that, you know, I want to play a big title that has like, you know, perfect graphics that I can shoot people and there's like all kinds of storyline and there's like a lot of content. And then other days I'm like, okay, well I'd rather kind of play, you know, something where I'm a little calmer, like Journey or The Walking Dead, yeah. Two games that he mentions here. Yeah. You know, sitting down and playing The Walking Dead, it's like, okay, you know, I'm making decisions. Like, it's not so much like, you know, that Twitch based gaming. It's more, I'm making a conscious decision here, and I know it's going to affect the rest of the game. So, I need to really like think about how I want to how my character wants to continue this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think this is a good point though, because I think Borderlands 2 is one of the. You know, this is sort of a contrast to something like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know, that was a good game. I mean, I didn't play a ton of it, but, like, you know, that was a game that got good reviews and was good. And, I mean, that was a big title, right? So,
yeah.
It doesn't always have to be, like, a, you know, a shitty remake that, you know, is just trying to grab money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. It shows, like, the diversity of it, you know? And I think that, I mean, to the point of like personal preference, it's definitely true that like there are some games that are designed to like suck you in, like Borderlands 2. You know, that's like a grindy game that you get
GTA,
yeah, or you know, like Diablo, anything where you have to like sit and work to make something happen, or you know, deeper game like GTA or Last of Us, where there's like a major story element to it. You know, that's a totally different game than, you know, the more easier to pick up indie titles where like you can pick it up and play it for 15 minutes and be done with it.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there probably is a correlation between the two in terms of games developed by indie developers and ones developed by AAA studios. You know, you probably see more AAA titles that are big, are more like cerebrally intense games than you do indie ones. that's my fiance watching the hockey game.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, damn it. She's literally on like the other side of the apartment. Like
they're in overtime right now. So
yeah, facing elimination.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. So anyway, I think that brings us to our top five this week, which we have.
Which we've sort of just poshed together.
I'm gonna go with the top five worst companies to be involved with gaming. Only because I think some of these are actually fairly entertaining. I don't know who came up with this, Liz, but.
I put this list in just earlier, but I also like Charles's ridiculousness here. That I just see someone being a dick. I think that's funny. Do you actually have five though here? You
know, no, I don't. I got three. I came up with three, and then I was like, oh, there's got to be two others that somebody can come up with. But if we don't have them, then that's fine.
All right, we'll save them for another time. We'll
keep them.
We can do these other ones. So the ones we have right now. The top five worst companies to be involved with gaming, and I don't know.
I'll talk about Ryzen. Good lord, yeah. Talk about Ryzen. charging a premium for a service that you could get for so much cheaper. It's just ridiculous. Like, Verizon prides itself on being accessible anywhere, and that's probably the only reason they can get their away with their premium, but just good lord.
It's like Verizon would be like if you were playing WoW, and they're like, yeah, the subscription is now $40 a month. and if you, you know, if you want to, like, hearth back to your home city, that's also going to cost you at $1. And Battlegrounds are $5.
Running is an extra $10. Otherwise, you can just walk everywhere.
You have to walk. I mean, it's just a premium that, you know, if you want to have the luxury of running with your character, then you need to add it to your subscription.
Your monthly the whole thing about Verizon, I was actually thinking about switching back to Verizon. And I was looking at, like, smartphones, and it was, oh, you have to pay $50 a month for the phone. But then you have to pay, like, for the data line. It's like, this is a data phone. So I'm not paying for the data with the phone itself. So I'm paying, what are you going to pay, like, $150 for a month for your data phone with the same service that I'm getting right now for $25 a month? No, thanks.
That's Verizon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if they were involved with gaming of any sort, like subscription-based gaming, it'd be like, okay, so your monthly subscription pays for this amount of time for you to play. If you go over that time, it'll be $10 a minute, and you may not notice, but you'll get a bill for like $2,000 for that month.
And their customer service is terrible. It's like, yeah, my account got hacked, and it's like, a customer service representative will be with you shortly. And you'll just be on the phone for like 3 hours trying to like resolve like you being stuck between a rock and a tree and you can't get, and you're just like a glitch in the game.
Seriously, in any other business, that would be an illegal practice. It's like, oh, the money's not there? Well, don't charge me more for the, if I don't have money in my account, then don't send the damn message. Come on now.
No.
It's ridiculous.
We're going to number two.
Equally as terrible. Number two is Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
Since.
Yeah. I mean, I actually have pretty good experience with Bank of America, but I know that this is a company that a lot of people don't necessarily. I mean, I also don't do much with Bank of America other than take my money
out. Yeah, I think they're like I think they're probably on the same level as like Verizon, because I mean they will nickel and dime you for any sort of thing or charge you like you know maintenance fees and stuff like that, so I don't know how you would equate that to gaming, but
I'm just thankful we don't have all the business fees that are associated with some bank accounts. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I think Bank of America was involved in the whole subprime mortgage issue. So I feel like if they were involved with gaming, it'd be like, oh, well, this game is not really that good, but guess what? We're gonna put it out, and we're still gonna charge you $60 for it.
Right. Yeah.
We'll give you the game for $20, but 6 months from now, you're gonna have to pay us $100 just to keep playing it.
And then if you can't pay that fee, well then you're gonna have to give the game back.
No, you're gonna have to give back all your other games. Along
with it. Another good one for them is you've paid your subscription for the entire year. Well, actually, if you don't renew your subscription within 3 months of the ending of the next year, then we're gonna charge you another $99 to your account.
And they have to pay you have to pay an activation fee.
Yeah.
Again.
Or ridiculous.
Number three.
Oh, this is my favorite company. McDonald's. they have really good double cheeseburgers. No, but seriously, this company is like the megalogiant of fast food industry, and they have perfected like how to like draw in helpless and poor people into like buying supersized Diet Coke so that they can get like a Monopoly piece.
I think the most terrifying concept for McDonald's in gaming is that the whole reason McDonald's works is because they have a system to make sure that every single product they purchase and present is the exact same. So to have them involved in gaming, I'd be like, Oh, you? What do you mean Call of Duty was the same as the last Call of Duty? I mean, it literally is the same as the last Call of Duty. Because they've just taken it and just re-released it. They're not going to change it all. They're going to just call it something different. And
it'd be like the McRib. They just released, like, you know, the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It just comes back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets re-released. They release it from the Disney vault.
For a limited time only, so it'd only be for a couple months, and then it'd take it away again.
Oh yeah, that would be Disney itself. That'd be another bad, terrible company to be involved with gaming.
But speaking of McDonald's, McDonald's actually came out with an NES game back in the day. It was called McDonald's Kids.
No way.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was sort of like a Mario style side scroller, right?
Yeah.
And like, you know, you had to like, I think like the little guys helped you and stuff. I've seen like, I think it was like Angry Nintendo Nerds review of it. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's quite creepy.
Yeah, I have that cartridge lying around somewhere.
Oh wow, that's probably worth some serious cash.
I need to play that. Maybe I'll post some pictures of it or something. Number four.
All right, this is the one we actually talked about earlier and talked about it last episode. So
yeah. This
is sort of a repeat, but Comcast is by far, and on my list, this is up there with Verizon.
Yeah.
It's one notch below only because I don't deal with them on a daily basis like I do with Verizon. But they have the worst customer service. They will try to convince you that you're not even the person that you are. Like. The kind of shit that they said on the phone and did to me on the phone. Oh my god. So anyways, Comcast is the same thing. They'll nickel and dime you. They'll tell you you get, you know, $79.99 per month, and then like on the fine print it'll say for the first month, and then for the next 2 year contract it's like $150.
Yeah.
It's the kind of shit that they do.
Just recently I had a bad experience with Comcast. We went to like the place to get a new cable box for our bedroom. And we literally had to wait in line for about 2 hours at this Comcast like place, which, no lie, had bulletproof glass, and it had like a little metal compartment where you had to put your stuff in. Like there's no open air between you and the people behind the glass. Like you had to put your I brought back my old modem because we just got a new modem, and I put in this little box, like go close up, and it was like military grade steel. Like I had to like hoist this thing closed, and then finally I was like goo, like went through this mile long tunnel to the lady on the other side. It was like clicking, like takes it out. All right, we've got it. And then so I was there for about 3 hours doing this whole thing. Then finally we got the cable box back, hooked it up, and then you have to like call to have them activate it. And anyway, it never activated, so I had to call and talk to these people who clearly know nothing. They're just reading some scripts. And they're like, okay, I'm going to send the signal to your cable box. And it's like, all right. After the fifth time, it's like, okay, it didn't work. The channels aren't showing. And she's like, oh, it could take 45 minutes. So anyway, I called three or four times, and finally they got it to work. But it's just like, it's just so frustrating that you got to do it over and over again. Like, there's clearly a problem. And the first, like, three people didn't catch it. Like, what is it going to take for me to have this, like, escalated to someone who can, like, actually figure out the problem? And they just don't. They read from a script, and there's, like, no human element to anything they do.
Yeah, I've experienced that, too, where the connection to my Ethernet just was dropping off. And I was like, what the heck's going on? And finally, there's just every single time they just said the same thing. Oh, I can send the re-signal to your box. It's like, okay.
That's literally all they know how to do. Like, I'll send the signal.
They're like, could you unplug it, plug it back in after 5 seconds?
Yeah.
It could be off. You could be bleeding from the head because you threw it in anger, and they would be like, I'm going to send the signal. You know, they don't. That's all they know how to do.
There's like this great video I saw on YouTube like a couple weeks ago of this like this guy and like, I don't know if it's wife or whatever, and he's like, he's in the Comcast place, and she's like, I'm going to pay him. He's like, you are not paying them. He's so angry. Like, he's like going to get in a verbal, like, he's like about to like physically get in a fight with his wife. He's like, you are not paying them. He's like, going to like, he's like ripping her like pocketbook. Like, he's like throwing shit at that like bulletproof glass thing they had. Like, it was the same way in that. I was like, yep, that's pretty much how I felt every single time I had to like pay any money to Comcast.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous, man. I remember when I got my cable in my last apartment, I called them up. I was like, I want the student plan. It's $99 a month. And I was like, you know, triple play or whatever. And they're like, yeah, that isn't out yet. I'm like, I saw it on the subway. Like, she's like, that was in a meeting with my exec today. There's no way it's out. I'm like, you printed it and you put it in the subway. Like, it's been printed. How can it possibly not be public? It's printed on a piece of paper. I was like flipping out, and she's finally like, I talked to her manager, and she's like, okay, I'll give it to you. I'm like, Jesus Christ. This is the shit I have to deal with. I couldn't stand it, man.
Sometimes you can negotiate with them, though.
So. Yeah, no, I've heard. If you tell them that you're going to like switch to DirecTV.
Oh, I've done it before. Like, I actually got them to extend my special deal for a year. I was very rude and very angry.
I would have paid to listen to that.
Yeah, me too. Anyways.
Number five
is equally as horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Walmart would interact with the gaming industry, to be honest.
I think that this is like where the- if there's the beginning game menu, as soon as you start the game, there's gonna be an old person that greets you.
Yeah.
Welcome to Walmart. Bam.
Oh, I know how it would work. Is that they're going to pay all of the programmers for all of the games, like $7.25 an hour. So all of the games are going to be like...
All the games are like $19.99.
All of the like UI elements are like half-baked. Like they didn't finish it. There's like stuff falling off and...
It's all the same UI for no matter what game. It's just like blue and white. Like everything's just blue.
Little yellow smiley faces all over the place.
They would get like other like not so famous people, but they are famous, like Miley Cyrus to produce games and like
Kevin Bacon is like just in all the games because he's like needs money. Nicolas Cage. Yeah, dude. Like, Walmart's where all the troglodytes of society just mingle.
Mingle and breed, is what you're saying.
Never go to Walmart on Black Friday. Oof. It's the worst experience ever.
People get shot and killed on Black Friday.
There were creatures there that had never seen the light of day. Just scavenging for, like, television sets.
I feel like Walmart
they emerge from the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, Walmart is just where, like, these creatures come out because they have nowhere else to go.
Which is weird to think about Walmart being the location we used to go and just like go late at night and throw the balls around and just make havoc on the store.
That's true.
Ridiculous.
Well, that brings us to what we're playing. So, what are you guys playing? Steve.
No, you know what I've been playing. I've been going crazy about Dota 2. But, I mean, I told you everything I know. So, yeah, man, this is a bunch of cool shit going on in Dota. I've got a bunch of new loading screens today as part of my compendium treasure. I was screaming, like, on top of my... Aah! Going nuts when they open up the treasure. It's awesome, man. It's just, you get sucked in. Once you get that virtual gear, you can't turn back. It's that swag.
Swagging it.
So that's about it. Other than that, I've been wanting to play Child of Light or whatever that game, that new one that came out is supposedly really good. I haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, I think I'm probably gonna pick that up at some point too.
Yeah, so that's on my list of things to do.
Charles,
I have been playing Titanfall, well as Dark Souls 2. So.
He's been raging about Titanfall.
Seriously, God. It takes some getting used to. I hate the Origin interface. I don't understand why I have to join the game to join a menu to join the game. I'm just like, oh, God. But, and then I was trying to join the specific type of mission, and there was no players in the entire universe playing that type. So I had to go to all play, and finally I got some games. But so right now I'm struggling with the distinction between the non-playable characters, which are the... I mean, it's basically just, like, UI. It's just the AI, rather. The AI and other players. And so I'll shoot all the AI players, and then all of a sudden I'll die because the actual players. So I was like, oh, I saw you, see you.
You should play attrition, man. That's the one where you can, like, get points for killing anyone.
I have been playing. I've been playing all modes. I just recently, before the podcast, I got done with 2 Last Titan Standing matches in a row.
Oh, those are cool.
I struggled with those because the friggin' Titan weapon where he's got that that multi grenade is just overpowered. So
triple.
Yeah.
Whatever that thing's called.
I've also been playing Dark Souls. I've gotten a little bit further in that. Figuring out all the controls. It's a little screwed up just because they've got it coded to. I mean, obviously they have coded to Xbox, so just making sure that I know where all the controls are because you need to know how to block in order to live in that game. So getting closer. It's just rough starting from the beginning again in a Dark Souls game because you die constantly and then you're kicking yourself. So
nice. Tim.
I played the WildStar open beta a little bit. Not much going on there, but I did also get into the EverQuest Landmark beta.
Oh, yeah.
Which, to be honest, is probably the most exciting beta that I've had a chance to play in. And, you know, it's basically like a new age Minecraft, but I don't know. Like, I've been excited about EverQuest Next for a long time, and I feel like if this is any kind of if that game is any indication of what EverQuest Next is going to be like, then I think it has potential to, you know, completely revolutionize MMOs, you know, to have a, I mean, you're basically talking about the grandfather of the modern MMO, you know. WoW is basically an EverQuest clone. So, I mean, if they can manage to, you know, take that style of classes and combat and quests and raiding and then add this whole kind of Minecraft element to it, it would, you know, blow every other MMO out of the water. And it's, you know, at first I wasn't really sure what the difference between Landmark and Next was, but I guess they're planning to have them as separate games, which doesn't really make sense to me, but it's really cool. It's, you know, like you basically make a plot, you have a plot and you have to like maintain it, and then you can build stuff on it, and it takes a long time to like mine stuff, but you can go around and like as you mine, you basically like, you can create tunnels and stuff and cut down trees, and you know, it's still definitely early in the game, and it has a way to go before it's really polished, but it just it gave me hope that EverQuest Next is going to be really amazing.
Cool. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's actually on it's on Steam now, on early release or whatever you can
get. Oh, yeah, early access. Or... Cool.
Nice.
Nick.
I finished playing Arkham Origins Blackgate on Vita this week. Started, that was pretty good. It was fun. I talked about it a little bit last week, but it was good. And then I started playing Lego Harry Potter years 5 to 7 on Vita, which is pretty terrible. The gameplay's fine, but it's like it's definitely dumbed down for the Vita version, and it's also, there's some frame rate issues. It slowed up quite a bit, and
it's awkward.
Yeah, real awkward. I think part of it was like when you would like blow stuff up, and you know, and then a ton of the little like Lego pieces would come out, which happens literally like every 10 seconds of the game. So
yeah, everything you hit explodes into like 30 Lego
pieces. Yeah. So it's so that was kind of frustrating. But apart from that, I've still been playing Putty Squad, which is literally like pooping in my hand. But I hate that game so much. But I'm still gonna get the platinum on it.
Pooping in your hand to find the diamond.
Is that a song that you were gonna write?
Oh, absolutely.
That exists? Okay.
With my special new headphones.
I think that would go to like the tune of like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, but pooping in the sky with diamonds,
pooping in my hand to find diamonds.
Perfect.
And,
so that brings us to the end of the podcast. I want to thank a couple...
You know it's the end when Charles starts.
I want to thank a couple listeners for writing in. At BodyDropCodaEC, Shifty25, Chango Bango, That Choffy,
Chango Bango!
And William0406. And thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 36. And as always, it's late, so...
It's bedtime.
Leave
it. Good night.
Late night gamers. Steve.
You suck so bad, so I'm down. And I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carls.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
I don't know.
Because I'm looking at Audacity and it seems to be all right.
It seems
they're going okay. to think that you have some weird things strapped to your face, but that's not,
like,
not far from the truth.
He's like Bane.
Yeah, right.
Hello. My name is Bane. Bane, that's my name. Yeah. I don't know what the issue is.
It's just for some reason.
You sucky.